Καλημέρα. Καλησπέρα. Καληνύχτα. No matter where in this wild, wacky, and today it definitely is a wonderful world. Thank you for making the Highbury Squad part of your day. It is a new week. It is a blank canvas. Let's paint pictures. Let's tell stories. Squaddies, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. Let's rock and roll!
Mind the gap between the train and the platform. Please stand clear of the discussion doors. The next stop is Highbury Squad.
Ah, boys and girls, look at that face, a face that we have loved, cherished, and cheered on as fans for years and years and years. Listen, I'm not going to dick around. Here I am. But the moment you've all been waiting for, and I especially have been waiting for, it's Monday Madness, but it's a twist. It's a special. Call it what you want. The legend has returned. Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. Bosh, bosh, bosh. I'm not crying, Tony's. I'm not crying. Tony's just making onion soup.
How are you? How are you, squaddies? I hope you're all well. I've missed you all. I've missed everybody. And I've got to say, the love that's been shown to me from not just the squaddies, I've got to say, other platforms, other teams, other genuine people has been really, really touching for me. And I really appreciate you. And may God bless you all, because do you know what? We're back together now. So it's time. And we're back together for a reason. So, after yesterday, it's quite ironic we picked today to join forces again.
Sorry. Okay. I get my shit together. I want to sing the song, Super, Super Kev, Super, Super Kev, Super, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. Woo! Okay, I'm going to start off here. Harvey, o Theos na se filai. Bravo, Harvey Moore. May God bless you and look after you. Ian, love soup. I'm just going to put these up, Kev, okay? There's already over 200 people in live chat. Wesberg.
Let's see how many like. Let's see how many likes we can get. Right?
Yeah, because, I've been waiting.
Because you know, yeah, because you know what? Let's start where we're mean to go. You know, let's get the likes up. And I hope Mr. Judges and some of the boys are in chat today, because those guys have been very, very good to me, I've got to tell you, and making sure I'm all right. So it's let's see how many likes we can get early doors.
Right, you lot. If everyone likes, if you're in chat and you haven't hit the like button, I don't know what to say to you. All right, it's going to move pretty fast tonight. And here he is, Lee Judges. He was my wingman when things got scary, and much love to Lee. And I know the boys of AFTV reached out to you, Kev, Potsy as well, Tom Canton.
All amazing.
All
amazing.
All of them.
All of the guys, AFTV were top class. Potsy, Harry, everybody, top class. Tom Cantor, top class. So, you know, we do get these guys on and stuff like that, but these guys care. They really do care. And, you know, they say when you're in your difficult time, your dark time, that's when you realize who the good ones are. And boy, squaddies, we got some good ones.
We certainly do. Certainly do. And I'm going to put up as many of your messages because we got to do this. You've all been waiting for this moment. All the emails you've sent, the DMs, the messages that I've gotten to for Kev, I've shared every single one with them. Okay, so Razor, Andrew, Chapo, Ola, Ola, Cello. We got our chief like officer in the house who's held things together well in your absence. Super Kev has our chief like officer.
Lovely.
Guna Russ is in the house. Carlos, Magic Mike as well. We can't forget Magic Mike and all the love that he has sent and shown and supported us during this time. Carol's here. We got Door on Tour, Kev. Door on Tour.
Love it. Love it. Door on Tour.
Elliot's in the house. Harvey's here. We've got Matthew, who done all of our gifts for us as well. Cliff is here. South London's Finest is here. Tom Sable is here. Guna for Life, PW. I know Ian's here, the whole jam, the whole fan. I can just keep going and going. I'm going to put all of your comments up. South London's Finest, of course. And then Matty K comes back the day you come back, Kev. We haven't seen Matty K for a while. And he's like, I'm going to make my comeback the same day as Super Kev.
but seriously, I've just got to say, everybody who's taken the time to leave a message, do an email, you know, send whatever in, I really appreciate it, and I know you appreciate it. It means so much. It really does. And it helped me. You know, it really helped me. So thank you so much, everybody.
Love you guys. Brilliant stuff. Little Sophie's here too, and everyone's here. I love it. The love is, Kev will tell you at the end, like he always does. It's just been incredible. And you know what we've missed more than anything, squaddies, Brady's Banana, the whole jam fam here. What have we missed is listening to Kev talk about our beautiful Gunners. And let me tell you, if there is a time when we are under attack this week for getting a point at City where we haven't won in 882 days, it's been since they've not conceded a goal. We haven't won there since 2015. And you know what, squaddies? Why don't we start with a graphic like this? This is our record at the Emirates. Okay? This has been our record at the Emirates.
At the Etihad.
At the Etihad. 2-2, 2-1, 3-1, 3-1, 3-0, 1-0, 5-0, 4-1. Super Kev, the world has gone absolutely bonkers. Manchester City 0, Arsenal 0. The world is so salty about the Gunners. The floor is yours.
Hey, do you know something, Soph? It's not just City fans or anything. It's other fans. Other fans, remember, they don't like to see us progress. They don't like it. So all of a sudden now, this was our ultimate test, Soph. After international break, you get back, you get to Manchester City, Yeah, they've got players missing. We've got players missing. But they've got the De Bruyne's and they've got the Haaland's and they've got all of these people. But remember, we discussed defense wins championships. Our defense was absolutely awesome. And keeping City to a clean sheet at their place, that's what people should be talking about, Solve. That's what people should be talking about. They should be talking about how Arsenal shut City down at the Etihad. Yeah, as an attacking force, we couldn't quite get going. Because you know what? The game plan wasn't to sit deep. The game plan was to move up the pitch. But City are so good, they keep the ball so well that you have to retreat. But like anything, Soph, if you're going to get anything at the best team in the world, you have to defend properly. And boy, did we defend properly. We got heroes back there. The whole team are heroes, but that back four or five, incredible.
Kev, we've said it a lot about thinking our Arsenal is back. But my goodness, does it not feel like our Arsenal is back? And as you guys know, on Monday Madness, we have top five talking points. But today we're going to try and talk about a little bit about everything because we've missed Super Kev and his take on stuff so much. The game stats, they had 70. Look, this whole thing about possession, I remember games where Barcelona almost had 100% possession against Chelsea in a Champions League game. And who won that game? Chelsea. The expected goals. Yeah. I hate that stat and I hate that data. Tom Canton knows it, but, you know, whatever. They had 12 shots. We had six. We had two on target. They had one. The last time we were there, do you guys remember the opening 10 minutes? Our goal was peppered. Pop, 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 one after the other. And we're going to start at the very top, Kev, because one of the things that people are missing here. And I've seen it all, and we've all seen it all. And I posted yesterday on Twitter, I give zero Fs what anyone outside of the Arsenal says about yesterday. Because if that was a Mourinho team or a Conte team or a Klopp team or a Pep team, that was the Italian national team or the German team, they would have been commended and lauded for delivering a defensive masterclass. And last season, Kev, I remember the next day, it was so brutal. I didn't even want to do a show. And we were ripped to shreds, absolutely torn to pieces for going up there gung-ho, thinking the audacity that Arsenal could beat Manchester City playing open football. This time we
going
go there.
Going for it. Going
exactly.
for it.
We go there with maturity. We go there with a discipline. Pep has shown us a lot of respect. Arteta's learned. Our players have learned. Kev, you played with some of the best defenders. Talk to me about what you saw yesterday, what you're seeing from these two. Get a lot of the credit, but we know this boy. And thank you, Chemo FC, for the thumbnail and some of the art today. We appreciate you. And you know what? Even players like Kivior stepping in and has done for the last few games. Talk to me about the defense. What we did, what you see.
The defence have got a toughness about them, Sophie. They've got a mentality and a toughness about them that get them through. And they're willing to take on any challenge. They took on the challenge of Liverpool, beat Liverpool. Took on the challenge of City earlier on in the season, beat City. But this is the ultimate test because we know, we keep hearing, City will go on a run now. You know what's going to happen. City are going to do this, that, the other. Well, they've just run into Arsenal and the Arsenal-Bermuda Triangle. There's no way through. That we've got to remember as well, so there's a lot of players who have come in. I think the three players, Ben White, Saliba and Gabriel, have been outstanding. Left back, we've had to change quite a bit at times. But I felt Kivior's done a really, really good job. I think maybe he just felt a bit leggy after the week he's had. And but, you know, you could bring Tomiyasu on. And Tomiyasu needed the game. He comes on, doesn't start too well because Doku gets inside him. But after that, he doesn't put a foot wrong. That is commitment, Soph. And when you're committed to the cause of keeping that ball out of your net, you've got a great chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've really got a great chance because now you see, Soph, you've done it at the hardest ground in the league.
Yeah.
Against the best in the world.
You know, Kev, I think it was one of the guys from the Arsenal Opinion. They put this, there was a meme that's going around. It's just brilliant. And it's Pep sitting next to Kevin De Bruyne on the bench after it's been subbed. And it's like the tag is, where's Kolasinac and Mustafi? Who are these guys? It's so good. Oh, my God, I crapped myself up. I loved it, absolutely loved it.
But, Soph, you know, what it also does for us is cement one thing about last season. If Saliba wasn't injured...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that next.
Yeah, if Saliba wasn't injured last season... I think we go close.
Yeah.
We go really close to winning it.
And it's... Kev, you know...
timing.
It is. And we'll talk about the sortiness a little bit more after because I really want to focus. Everyone's really tried. When you've got people like Mark Goldbridge defending you and doesn't understand the saltiness. You've got people, fans. I heard some Liverpool fans yesterday calling us delusional. I heard City fans calling up saying it's a disgrace the way we came to play football. And I was like, wow, this is so amazing. I love it because you know why? The fear and the respect. Kev,
it's like back.
It's like that scene from A Bronx Tale when Sonny looks at C and he says to him, no, he asks Sonny, would you rather be feared or loved? And of course, it's different in the old mafia world. But would you rather be feared or loved? We don't want to be loved by the opposition. We don't care if we're loved by the media. We want to be loved by our own fan base, our players. But my goodness, the fear part, Kev, is back. We haven't even won yet.
Yes. Scared. But you see, this has been brewing for 3 years now, so, and people could see our trajectory. Especially after last season. What did they say? You won't be able to do that next season. You probably finish seventh or eighth because everybody's going to put their money in, the marker down. Sophie, here we are.
Here we are. Indeed, here we are. And you're right, Gunaras. Terry from the Football Terrace has been on this agenda for quite some time. And it's actually really refreshing when people outside of the club see exactly what's happening. Let's get into the game a little bit, Kev. But before we do that, every team has to stand in the tunnel. And I asked you this a while ago, and I said to you, there seems to be a little bit, and maybe we lost it towards the end of last season, but there seems to be this tunnel vision intimidating the opponent. Again, Super Kev, I use this picture whenever I can. Thanks, Chemo, again. I love the way he artistically took this shot and gave it even more darkness and ambiance. This one where you just see these three. I mean, they just look so cool, so calm, so collected. Kev, I was watching very closely because I wanted to see what was happening in the tunnel. We were standing there waiting for them. And of course, they're the home team. They're going to play little mind games too, coming out late. But there is this element now as a fan even, I'm like, man, look at them. They're so locked in. They are in the zone. And it's a beautiful thing to see. Talk to me as a player when you've stood there with your teammates, legends, and intimidated the opponent a la Tiger Woods before they get on the first tee. Tell me about that.
Well, it's a trust in each other is one thing. When you're standing there with your mates, because normally what happens is, you know, that when the buzzer goes, everybody goes and hugs each other. And then you line up and then you walk out into the tunnel. So if you're in the tunnel first, you really, the next
that's
best
the
thing.
That's the celebration police.
the next best thing, Soph, is to eye your opponent when they come down. When they come out. Mm-hmm. We trust what we do. Whereas before, we might just kept our head straight. No, we're having a good look at you. You want it with us? All right.
Yeah.
Just a look. You want it with us? All right. That's why the battle, Gabriel's battle with Haaland went on after.
Oh yeah.
Because he is not gonna take a backward step.
This guy.
Not. Love him. He is not.
He's really evolved into something quite unique and special this season. And we give Saliba a lot of love. And the two of them, the Great Wall of Arsenal, you know, have developed this friendship, partnership. And of course, you know, Saliba, man of the match at Anfield, man of the match at the Etihad. The other thing too, Kev, that I want to discuss, taking that tunnel vision intimidation right onto the pitch, because we've craved this for years. We haven't had it. We've had apathetic players who just have crumbled under the spotlight. We crumbled under the spotlight last season, but in different ways. At least we were competing. We've had apathetic, non-competing players for so long. All we've heard is how Haaland is the greatest striker since sliced bread. There is no doubt last season he was sensational. He is an incredible goal scorer. And Roy Keane said some choice words, which we'll get to in a minute. But when you're calling him a League Two player outside of being a goal scorer, how about you give credit to the players who made him look like that? All of a sudden, Kev, Haaland's a League Two striker, right? This is what he said. The levels of his general play is just so poor. He's almost like a League Two player. It's because of Saliba. It's because of Gabriel. It's because of Ben White coming in and supporting and picking up and plugging in those holes. Explain to me.
But that's typical media not giving Arsenal the flowers that they deserve. Like I said earlier on, that clean sheet at City, which is the first one there for how long, should be lauded. But it's not. The media should be lauding that. Look how many teams across Europe have gone there. Can't do it. Arsenal are the first in a long, long time. Yet they're talking about, apart from being a goal scorer, he's like a League Two player. Yeah, just because the defence makes him look that way. Because all the others can't.
Yeah, Kev. That, you know, he did. And where's that comment from Lone Star? He looked bang average. Here's the thing. The thing I don't like, Kev, is there's a few things. And my Monday Madness talking points are going to be all over the place because there's so much to talk about. And I'm not angry. I'm just irked by some of the stupidity that I'm hearing. So, for example, we've heard that Haaland's the greatest. We've heard all of these things. We've heard that Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp are the two greatest managers that the Premier League has ever seen. And Mikel Arteta, who is now 3-point-something years into his fourth year, right, is going up against these two juggernauts. And he goes there with the mindset of, you know, maturation and figuring out how to get a point in a title run, in a title race. Is it so freaking hard for people to recognize what we did yesterday, what we've achieved? Now, I don't really care about what they say, but I really feel that they deserve, the players, forget about us fans, the players and the manager, they deserve a little bit more respect than that. They've told us, Kev, that Klopp and Guardiola are the best. Mikel goes there with a set game plan and gets a point, and we're still in the title race, and we're not humiliated.
So if you have to earn it. We know we deserve more respect. We know that clean sheet should be lauded. But they're not going to give us what we want. They will always use, you've done nothing against us. Until you win, Soph, that's when your credibility goes up.
You know, Jay Dime, I am used to it, but I think I know, and I've said this. I was on a few shows last week, and I kept saying, until we win the big one, we're not going to get the respect. But the stupid kind of clickbaiting and dartboard headlines and nonsense from adult human beings, people in the media, it's just pathetic. It's gotten to a point of just, you know, click here, we'll make some money. And I just find it all so, when we're maturing, the media, the pundits and opposing fans are immaturing. You can say that. Is that a word?
Sophie, do you remember where we missed out against Spurs?
Yes.
For the fourth spot.
Yes.
Do you remember what they were saying then? We were upset.
Because but we stood by the there. Team.
No, I'm not saying we didn't. All I'm saying is they've always got something to say. And there's always something to pick at. They don't do that with Liverpool. They don't do it with City.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it with us. Why? Because now, this three-horse race, we're the only one who've never done it.
Kev, David Hillier, your old teammate, was here last week, okay? And I played a video, and there's 700 people in live chat, right? Across all of the social platforms. Please kiss, like, nut, whatever you want to do to that button. It's the return of Super Kev. And because Kev is here, all right, I'm going to do this, all right? I'm going to get rid of that. And there's a good few of you that may have not been in the show last week and a good few of you who may not have seen this. And I was saying, and I was talking to David Hillier last week, And I said, this sounds familiar. Have you heard it before? Super Kev watched the show. I know he doesn't get tired of seeing this, but he was in the moment. And we have players now like Declan Rice and Jorginho and Kai Havertz and Saliba and Gabriel and Benjamin White. Let's David Raya, who, by the way, could have made a cup of tea yesterday. I mean, I know that I'm being facetious now, but I'm going to play this because this is the energy we need until the end of the season. This was years ago, but it all remains the same.
Number two, it's the first opportunity I've had to talk to everybody after the tribunal decision. And the media are enjoying it. The majority of the media are enjoying it. They're enjoying us getting all this stick because normally nothing comes out of Highbury, right? And they're enjoying it. Again, lads, there's one way to handle it. Just keep winning matches. They're looking at us and the stick we've been getting the last couple of weeks, right? It seems fashionable just now. You jump in the bandwagon and get into Arsenal. It's fashionable. We're not second bottom. We're second top. And that's what they're set. We're second top of the league. And it's the best start we've had for over 40 years. So keep thinking football all the time. Okay? Think of football. And you should all be proud of yourself. And make sure we'll work hard individually and collectively. Right? We're all professional people. You've all got responsibilities to yourself and your families. And keep that in your mind at all times. Right? The lads, if we stay together as a unit within the club, and even now, I'm trying to sort of get the crowd right with us. Now, we've got to get the fans on our side a lot more, like they do up north, especially at home. Right? We've got to get them, you know, included in it, because I'm getting loads and hundreds of letters telling us, right, about how unfair it is that the media are jumping on top of the bandwagon, why are we getting bad press? We've got to get the fans on our side. You know, you go up north, it's almost like a gold star. You go to places up there, and then we've got to do the same to our fans. And I'll put them up, don't worry about that. But lads, we've got to watch our behaviour, I'm telling you right now. And that means we've still got to tackle, we've still got to close down, we've still got to challenge.
It was one of...
Kev, do you remember that day like it was yesterday? And by the way, salute to Tyrese Campbell in the house. Welcome, Ty, to the show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. There's a few questions coming, Kev. How many games were left to go in the season then? Do you remember?
Yeah. No. But it didn't matter. There were a good few, but it didn't matter how many. The fact of the matter is, what's the difference between then and now? Hearing that speech. They're against us. That's the first thing, one of the first things George Graham said to the whole squad. We are not just battling the other teams. We are battling the whole establishment. Because at the end of the day, how could Man United get dot 1 point and we get dot 2?
Mm-hmm.
Surely you get the same. But no, they wanted to make sure they messed us up. And that was where he got letters. Could you imagine if there was any social media? So, this thing has been going on way before people could understand.
Mm-hmm.
The press are not our friends. The press, the media do not respect us until we win. They'll more respect Spurs.
Yeah, well, Ange,
who have done nothing.
Manager of the year in London, apparently, Super Kev, Ange, the Greek, who reminded everyone it's not his Easter. His Easter's in a month's time. Facts.
Right.
So, Kev, do you think Mikel? We've said this. Mikel is much closer to George Graham. Like when I look at old clips, I've been watching a lot. I've been doing a lot of reading and. Books and this video, I just keep playing over and over and over again. Seems just like him.
Soph, you need the foundation to win. He's built a foundation at the back. That's what George done. You build that foundation. And do you know what yesterday really taught me, Sophie?
Tell me.
It taught me offensively, we're not quite there yet. Because sometimes we have to play Saka with an injury. Sometimes we have to, Martinelli hasn't trained all week or for 3 weeks. And we have to put him on the bench because he had something a bit different. Jesus, who's a striker, who can play wide. You know, most of the chances fell to him. Havertz was a bit isolated up top. So that's the next thing we've got to do. So is offense. But you know what? Once you've got a defense and that foundation to build on, you build it quick. You build that attack and offense quick.
Kev, Capo Dan, welcome from Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Lovely to have you in the house. I wanted to put Dan's comment up because I want to know if Dan also means a difference maker overall or up front. Because I felt like yesterday, and I wanted to talk to you a lot about the midfield against Rodri, who, again, we've been told is the best in Europe. And I'm telling you, this guy is a great player. Let's not deny it. And these were his by the numbers for Rodri. He had the most touches, the most passes, the most final third passes. And you would understand that of a player of his ilk when his team are dominating the ball. But our midfield yesterday, who have been brilliant over the last 8 games, 9 games now unbeaten for the Gunners, it felt like these types of performances, when you're used to dynamism, when you're used to, you know, pizzazz football, champagne football, when you're used to your captain being the greatest showman, you know, when you're used to Jorginho being like the Don Italiano in midfield and just completely dominating, and Declan Rice, the energy that he has, and he was absolutely immense and superb yesterday, Kev. I thought the midfield were the first line of defense. In fact, the Jesus was the first line of defense, let's be honest. But the midfield yesterday, Kev, strip away all of the champagne, they put in a shift. And I don't think they should be criticized for not creating or not playing that way that we've been used to maybe since Dubai.
Sophie, they went with a game plan to play 15 yards further forward. That was the game plan. But on the day, City forced them back because they were that good moving the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That we had to just make sure we defend our box. That was the important part, because it's such a long distance to go from the edge of your box to the edge of their box. That's why City kill teams. Because
mm-hmm.
the other teams can't get up there. They can't get out. We were trying, you could see, we were trying to move up the pitch as best we can. We were just, at times, Soph, we weren't good enough because we played straight passes. But that's what happens when you're a bit tired.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing the ball is so much harder than having possession.
And, you know, We beat them 1-0 without Saka last season, Kev. We played very pragmatic. And that became a bit of a blueprint for the following games pre-Dubai.
No, this season.
Mm-hmm.
We beat them 1-0 this season without Saka.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I meant last year, not last season. It seems like so long ago that happened. It was earlier in the season. So, yeah, we beat them without Saka. And Saka was not in this game at all. And it's probably one of his worst ever games for the Arsenal. However, he battled through fatigue. He was holding an injury. Maybe if he's saying to the gaffer, Kev, I can start, he's going to give him the benefit of the doubt. In hindsight, and Dan kind of clarified that he was talking about up top. Because we've said too that when you look at how Klopp beat Liverpool, he built them from the front back. Van Dijk and Alisson were the last two pieces of his jigsaw puzzle. Mikel's definitely built it from the back to front. Now you've got a solid back five with options. The Zinchenkos of the world, the Tomiyasus, the Kivyors, Jurrien Timber is yet to make an appearance. We don't know how he's going to be. We can't factor him in at this point. You've got a midfield that I think is going to need some, you know, a paint job a little bit this season. If Jorginho goes, if Thomas Partey goes, there's going to be another opportunity for us to kind of reboot that. We've been scoring goals from all corners of the team, from the Odegaards to the Martinellis to the Sakas. You guys know it. Havertz, late goals, etc. But Dan has a point in a way in that imagine if we did have that prolific striker. And what I want to ask you about, if we had a prolific striker right now, does it disrupt the way that Arteta wants to play? Sometimes he loves to plug in. It's a false nine, or he's playing wingers as a midfielders, you know, down the middle. Or is it just a case of, no, so football is very simple. Get a striker who can bang in the goals.
Well, we have an obsession with a striker who could score goals. Who's Liverpool's striker who could score goals? One thing Liverpool did do, they bought two wide men who can score and work and threaten you with speed and power. Mane and Salah. They were the terrorists, with Firmino obviously sat in that hole as the false nine. And that's how Liverpool done it. There's more than one way to skin the cat. But Arsenal, I just think that's the next level for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the next level. But it has to be the right striker. Because his game can't just be, I score goals. Because we're not that type of team. We're the type of team who he has to get involved. You know, he has to sometimes be in the middle, sometimes be wide. He has to be able to have good movement. That's why that Gyökeres is so interesting. Because he plays right along the line from a centre forward.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be plenty of time for me and Kev to talk about who the right forward is, but Gyökeres and Isak seem to fit a mould. Isak has a few injury issues. However,
he knows the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
He scored goals in the Premier League. And he'll be playing for a top team. Not saying Newcastle are bad. Newcastle are good. Mm-hmm. Arsenal are a top team.
Kev, I asked this question with respect to Mikel because he's been doing a phenomenal job. And was it And it's a juxtaposition to what I just said earlier, because what Jesus offered yesterday, being that first line of defense, doesn't get credit for. You don't see the off the ball moments. Fans tend to want to ignore that. They want to focus on the two chances that he missed. I think it was one chance, really. The second one, he was just too late into the box. And you could argue when Trossard came on, he had an opportunity to square it to Martinelli. Bosh, the game could have been done and dusted. We could have actually won that game 1-0, maybe 2-0. Was it the right decision to start Jesus in this game?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I seriously do think so. Jesus is a big game player. Can play anywhere across there, the front.
Mm.
And the fact of the matter is, a lot of the opportunities fell to him. Some he made himself, which is fantastic. Some he snatched that and obviously went wide. But there was nobody else. If he weren't Jesus, you know, dropping a shoulder, cutting back, dropping a shoulder, you know, trying to work an opening. What else did we have, really? We didn't have much. So he's got that in the locker that he can create something out of nothing. That's why he played.
And also, it really didn't seem like Martinelli was... We took some risks yesterday, but I think calculated ones, because you could argue against Luton, who, by the way, tough team. That's not going to be an easy game. We have seen the tenacity of Luton Town Football Club this season. That is not going to be an easy game. But it didn't feel like Saka was right. It didn't feel like Martinelli was right. Jesus, when he's been out for a long time, takes a little time to get back to that match fitness. But my goodness, yesterday he played like an absolute thoroughbred. He was just sensational, I thought. And yeah, that chance that fell to him, Kev, from a striker point of view, it seemed like he had to lean back into the ball a little bit. He controlled it beautifully, but it just seemed like the angle with the defender in front, who was it in front of him? I can't remember now. It felt like it was a little off kilter for him. Talk to me about that chance.
It's just like anything. It's your first touch. Because the defender's there, obviously, if you're going to shoot, you got to miss him. So the first touch is about here. And then he has the shot. But obviously, it's off target, because normally you'd like a clear look at goal. And there wasn't a clear look at goal. So, listen, I thought Jesus done all right yesterday. Work. One thing you're going to guarantee, he will work. And he will be a nuisance.
Kev, would you... Sorry, go on.
I'm just saying, but we need more.
So there's a lot of comments in the chat about Jesus, and he did play on the flanks more for Manchester City, and I actually prefer it. Could you see a scenario where, let's just say you have Gyökeres or Isak down the middle, Jesus on the left because of what he does off the ball, better than Martinelli, better than Trossard, and a Saka on the right, or use Jesus left or right? Could you see a scenario where maybe Arteta would go for that next season? Martinelli isn't guaranteed to start on the left. Maybe Jesus does because of what he offers off the ball. You get a prolific striker down the middle. Can you see that scenario?
Use the squad. Yeah, use the squad. There's going to be plenty of games. So you use the squad. Because getting game time could be, probably should be, at a premium next season. So, you know, we kept moaning about, you know, we just neglect the Carabao Cup and all that.
Mm.
We might have to. It might be a first team in the Carabao Cup.
Yep. Listen, Chief Like Officer says it right. Love having Super Kev back. This is amazing. And I've missed this, and I know you guys have too. And hit that like button for us, please. Super Kev is back. Sure, sorry, Batman. Hit that like button for me. I'm not going to tire Kev too much. Kev's going to let me know when he's ready to duck out. Don't you worry about it, Archangel. I love it. They're all looking out for you, Super Kev. It's like trying to listen. Am I going to try and sub Kev off right now? He'll look at touchline look, that photo of you and George Graham, where he's kind of, you're standing there like that, Kev, and he's doing this. He's trying to give you some instructions. But yeah, Kev is going to let me know when he's ready to go. Almost 500 likes. Very well done, kids. Almost. Brilliant. 500 likes. Kev, a few more here for you before we do let you go. You have been around some top coaches in your time at Arsenal, Everton, Forest. A lot of the times, some fans were worried. I even asked you this question last season, even when Steve Round left, you know, if Mikel had enough experience around him for these moments. Well, it's two seasons in a row now where he's kind of proving that his team, they're smart. These are smart, young football folks who have got great football brains. What's your take on Mikel's coaching staff, what you see? Because David was telling us too, a lot of the times, you know, it's them working with players, the one-on-one sessions, the day-to-day. They've been pretty impressive this season in particular, and we know what the stats are for corners and how effective we've been. As a player, what does the assistant coaching staff mean to you?
Well, mean to me, as a player, if they're going to make you better, you can't wait to get in every morning. Because it's a place of learning and improving. And we all, if we're going to work and it's a performance-based business, we all want to get better, Soph. Especially if you like the people you're working with. And there seems to be a lot of love, seems to be a lot of togetherness with the coaching staff. And I remember Mikel getting a little bit of stick for taking a picture with the staff. No, because Mikel incorporates them because they're all in it together. They are all in it together. And that's why these guys have improved. Declan Rice has come in. Havertz has come in. Made a big difference. Timber's come in. We've not really seen him yet, but the little snippets we have seen of Timber, let's say next season, he's a new player.
Yeah, it'll be refreshing. Very, very refreshing. Okay. A couple more before we let Super Kev go. This has been an epic Monday madness. Brilliant stuff. And we're going to talk about this more. We're going to get Kev to sum up his thoughts on the performance, on the match, what you think our chances are, Kev. Overall, how do you see the next few games? We're going to do we're going to predict some games on a future show with Kev. But Kev, massive mentally. You've been a player. You've worn the shirt. You've won it all. What are these players thinking now? What do you see? What do you take from all this?
I think some fans don't realize how big a result that was yesterday for the dressing room, for the mentality of the players. A lot of the players were the ones who got done 4-1 here last season. Thought they could battle and got ripped apart. Now this season,
Super Carl's in the house.
Now this season, 0-0. Yeah, couldn't win. But damn, you've done something that not many teams could say they've ever done. Keep a clean sheet at City. So as far as I'm concerned, what do we have to fear? We know we can beat every team in the nine. We know we can. Just got to concentrate and take it one game at a time. Champions League's different. But league, it's going to be interesting how we approach the Luton game. Because you know how when we came back from Dubai and we were free-flowing, interesting to see if we play like that.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great point, Kev. You know, are we going to go back to the 4, the 5, the 6 goals in a game? Luton, a tough team, home or away, it doesn't matter. I know you guys are, Matty K, all of you with your 8-1s and your 7-1s. Let's not go down because that road just yet.
Yeah, because think about it, Soph. We needed Declan Rice to pull us out of the crap at Luton. But we made three mistakes. We made three mistakes to give them three goals. You cut that out, it's an easy win.
No, totally, totally. You keep saying 2-2, Magic. Because ever since Magic has been saying 2-2, Kev, with one or drawn. So he's going to keep on the 2-2 train. A couple more things before we go. By the way, yesterday, where is it here? All of our global gunners, you are amazing. Global gooners, gunners, call yourselves what you want. There was two massive games yesterday, Manchester City v Arsenal. And our women, I did a lot on the Conti Cup for TalkSport last week and stuff. And I did not see this coming at all. I didn't see it coming at all. I didn't think that we were in good form. We haven't been great this season. Jonas has tinkered too much with the team. But an absolutely gigantic shout out to Arsenal women defeating Chelsea in the Conti Cup. It was superb, absolutely superb. Now, with that said, there was a scary moment, of course, but the good news is Freedom Arnhem is okay. When you collapse off the ball, that's always a scary situation. And we're going to be doing a women's show a little bit later this week where we'll dive into a bit more stuff. But it was an amazing performance. Stina said that when they got into the huddle, when extra time hit, they all said, let's do it for her. They came together. They banded together. This Arsenal spirit is running through the men's team. It's running through the women's team. We've been a little careless in the league, which kind of upsets me because I felt like this team, you know, could win the league. I'm not saying that we can't, but it's so much harder when you drop points, Kev, in the WSL. And by the way, as a woman, I would like to say one thing. What happened yesterday between Emma Hayes and Jonas, and Emma labeling Jonas as male aggression, I thought that was really distasteful. Because if you look back at the video and you look back at the clip, And if you can actually take it a step, a few more steps back on that, Chelsea chose to play with one ball. The teams had an option. Chelsea chose to play with the one ball. Arsenal wanted to play with the two ball option because it's a faster pace. You pick up the ball, you can move. And when it suited them and they needed a goal, it was like, oh, you know, we'll play with the second ball. And Jonas took, you know, he was pissed off about that, and rightly so. And I think Emma's words, you know, you need to be very careful these days. What you say, how you say it, because what she did at the end was aggressive. She actually did what she accused Jonas of doing. And look, I've not been a Jonas fan this season. I don't think he's done a great job. However, we won a trophy. That's success. That is a win for him. And he's done it now twice against Chelsea in a final. And what she did at the end of the game was completely inappropriate. And if that was the other way around, everyone would be spitting blood. And Jonas would be in a lot of trouble today. So we should give the same energy, because her behavior, Kev, was classless yesterday. And what she tried to do and take Jonas's name through the mud, I thought was very inappropriate. And I just had to say something about that. I really did. Because it took the shine off our women who were victorious. And to all the Arsenal America crew that were watching the Conti Cup, the Pittsburgh lot, the Fort Lauderdale, Craig Thornburg, and what you're doing there with your group, brilliant. The Bay Area Gooners, the Chicago Gooners, up at all sorts of hours, starting with the Conti Cup and then going into the Manchester City Arsenal game, to our fans in Asia, in South America, to everyone that listens to this show in Africa, in Australia. Our fandom is strong, and we are absolutely upsetting people. And what happened yesterday, no one can take that away from us. It was a brilliant performance by the men. Our women won a trophy. And you know what? It was another proud day to be a Gooner. That's that. That's just all I have to say.
Just like it is every day. But I don't think she took any shine off us. She just exposed herself for who she is. Because she didn't need to do that, Emma Hayes. So, listen, we move on. Obviously, everything will be checked, but it didn't look good considering her standing in the women's game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very disappointed as someone. And you know what, Kev? All I did all week was laud her and her legacy and her achievements and going for the quadruple. And she does that? No. We have to call it both ways. This thing can't just be one ways. And Dan just said it right. When we're trying to change things in the world, you know, works the same both ways. Super Kev, I've missed saying this to you out loud. You have the last word. By the way, I think Magic Mike has another great guest lined up for Highbury to the Grove. If you've missed the Amy Lawrence episode and the Clive Palmer episode, please go check it out. Brilliant stuff. Talking about the things we love. Little bit of a mix of inside the dressing room and a trip down memory lane, talking all things Arsenal legacy, things they love, memories, all that type of stuff. It's the thing Arsenal dreams are made of. Super Kev, I hand it over to you.
Okay, well, look, everybody, this is what we wanted. We wanted a team who could compete. We wanted a team who would challenge. We wanted a team who would make us proud. And yes, that's what Mikel Arteta's delivered. There's 9 games to go. All of the games are winnable. Not saying we're going to win them all, but they are all winnable. So, whatever problems mentally people have with accepting Arsenal can do it, Arsenal can do it. Remember, we only gain our respect by doing it. Competing is one thing, but we got to do it. And get that feel-good factor in our guts. City have got it. Liverpool have got it. That's why we would never be favourite. It's always a Man City a favourite, even though they're third.
Yeah.
You know, they're favourites. Liverpool, favourite. Of course they are. Because they've done it. They've been at the front before. There are a couple of spaces there. Points clear. Paul, you're right. 9 cup finals. And we have to back the team on everyone, guys. We got to back the team. So, again, this is what we signed up for. This is what we wanted. Let's enjoy it. Let's not turn back and say to ourselves, oh, you know, I'm nervous. Yeah, nerves are part of it, but enjoy it. Enjoy Wednesday against Luton, where you know Luton could do something. But I'd rather lean on that defence, if you don't mind. I'd rather lean on that defence who could shut out City at City. That's what I'd rather do. So, on that note, everybody, it's an absolute honour to be back, to see you all, to speak to you all, to liaise with you all. And I love you all. I really do. It's been my pleasure. And always remember, things never change. Tell your loved ones you love them, whether it's a ring, just a text, or a heart. Text them a heart. But make sure there's some love in your life, please. Because without love, honestly, we have nothing. We have nothing. We can get consumed by bad stuff. So, I will love you and leave you. Thank you for looking forward to my return. Squaddies, I've been waiting to say this. We love you. And at ease, squaddies. At ease.
Mind the gap between the train and the platform. Please stand clear of the discussion doors. The next stop is Highbury Squad.
I can't keep up with the messages. Beautiful.